We move forward this morning. My dissertation, take out your document. There are some excerpts in the back in case someone doesn't have it. And of course, to the regulars, I always say, don't leave home without it. Amen. We move this morning into an area which it is very important for us, comprehension-wise, to be in tune to these terminologies, and in particular, page 9, for the next several outings, we shall be focusing in, and repeat after me, relativism. In Scripture Ontology. Also, take your Bibles. And Gavin is our designated reader this morning. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we shall start reading verse 9. But our main focus, verse 13. As we speak about relativism, I want you to go back to page 4 for a minute. Let's go into this section there of definitions of a glossary. Where it starts off, it says reality. Everybody say reality.
Reality.
What is that, Brother Deacon?
Reality is actual existence. True or certain.
The next one, as I've said, we're going to focus on and want it to become a working part of your thought mechanism in regards to what we shall be conveying. Relativism. Everybody say relativism.
Relativism.
Brother Deacon.
Relativism is concepts according to cultures and situations.
All right. What a thing actually relates to. Next one is relativity.
Relativity, how an entity relates or align with a separate or remote non-related entity.
Okay. How things actually point toward one another, and then what becomes should become the center of the nucleus, and what should revolve around what. The last one this morning is sagacious. Everybody says sagacious.
Sagacious.
My deacon?
Sagacious. The eternal perspective of wisdom.
Eternal perspective. Everybody say eternal perspective.
Eternal perspective.
Everything should be reviewed in respect of eternity. I know. Our focus, our thought, our relevance, our visuals, and most of our comprehension draws upon what's around us in the time capsule. But it's funny that the scriptures don't operate that way, do they? No. The scriptures are God focused and heavenly focus. Wherein we think of things mostly in terms of ourselves and earth and what we see. So it is the unseen spiritual sphere of eternality where the concept of spirituality abides in the sense that all things revolve around God and exist in His same. And the seeing is not the substance. The seeing is merely the depiction of testimony of the substance, but not the substance itself. All things are ontologized in God having said it. I'm going to be a little kind of short this morning. Amen. I'm still a little tired from the trip. But I want to focus on where the scripture is focusing and said to you to take your eyes off of everything else except God as relates to existence and what is. Everything is about Him. Everything is in Him. Colossians 1:16. All things are in Him. And so life is about Christ. Not about us. And now, when we focus that way, things begin to come together to make better logic as far as consistency is concerned. Life cannot be about me or you. Otherwise, there was no life before me and you. The conscious of things cannot be about our conscious. Otherwise, there was no consciousness before you and I. You see, once I get on the scene, then everything is pointing toward me and about me. No. Then what happens after you go off the scene? I forgot. We don't like to think like that. Excuse me. No, better watch it. But it's the essence of God in Christ wherein everything heals. Everything revolves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Brother Deacon, read verse 9 through 13, and then we'll come back. And of course, I know we won't get through this. This is where we'll start. Amen. Everyone has 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Amen. All right, read.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning verse 9, King James Version. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Oh, my Lord.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?
Mm-hmm.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Yeah. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
So, of God, from God. Everything that is, everything that we know, mm-hmm. is communicated to us from God.
Hallelujah.
So all things relate to Him. If everything is coming from Him, then everything must relate to Him.
Amen.
And what is not from Him doesn't exist. Someone said, where does that put me? In verse 9, it says now, natural understanding hasn't comprehended through sight nor sound. Now comprehension to come through contemplation. What God has prepared, what God prepared for those loving Him. Those that are His, those that were called, elected and placed in Christ before the foundation of the creation of the world.
Mm-hmm. Remember. Thank God.
We were created to the specifications of His love, and to the specification of that which He previously prepared for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That means that we, of all things that are happening in life, has happened, and things are happening, and things are going to happen. We must be always encouraged.
Amen.
Beyond the things that are around us.
Beyond.
When we relate to ourselves, many times it draws a very, very bleak picture.
Remember.
When we relate to ourselves, this is where the doubt and the fear, the trepidation comes in.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And when you hear somebody say life is a drag, they mean as it relates to them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you focus beyond physicality into the realm of spirituality,
mm-hmm.
in the venue of eternality, where things are complete and have been always completed from the beginning. There is gloriousness. Another place it speaks of joy unspeakable and full of glory. But that's in the focus. On the nucleus of Christ in God. And we must understand this. And if you don't understand this, then you really don't have a handle on what life is.
Amen. Amen.
It's not ultimately about the processes that we go through.
Come on. That's right.
As we enter the world through the womb,
mm-hmm.
and the interfacing and the encounters and the confrontations that we experience while we're here, these are sidelines. Oh, you hear me this morning? The true experience is knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh my God. Knowing Him as the one who you are related to and a part of, as a member of the body of Christ. Oh, we shortchange ourselves because we think of life as what's going on around us in the temporary mode of things that we see, touch, taste, physically connect with, and what we are doing now. And of course, it's hard to define now because everybody said now. One, two, three, four, five. That one's gone. But when you focus into eternity, what is, and doesn't change. And these are the things that we must understand. And this is where he said, things are prepared. They are completed. They are finished. This is what he said. Verse 10, he said, but God has revealed them to us. Where? In his word. You just look into his word and read. Amen. And as the Holy Spirit communicates to us, amen, our focus and our aspirations, our aim, our priority moves out of the terrain of time. Oh my God. Into the terrific aspects of life in eternity. Say, Pastor, you sound like somebody that's taking a acid trip or something. No. What we call real is not real. What is real sticks around. And what is moving and changing and transitioning, you really don't have anything to pinpoint to call real.
Amen.
Because it's moving and changing so fast. Even when we are fixated on the earth, do you know that the earth, the globe, is moving through the universe? And of course, in the universe, we're in the Milky Way, which is a cluster of stars called the galaxy. And then within the galaxy, there are billions of stars, and one of them is the sun. It's one of a billion. Amen. And it's moving. And in order for the earth to stay relative to it, 93 million miles, it has to move as fast as the sun. And so, the earth is moving thousands of miles per unit through the universe. And it only seems like it's standing still because we're on it. It's like if you're in a jet and that, is, what is it, so many thousands of feet, a few miles up in the air, and it's moving.
Over.
Yeah, we've been on the plane and it says that our cruising speed is such and such a mile an hour. You're sitting in your seat as far as relativity to that vehicle, you're standing still. But the vehicle is moving. The earth is moving. In relationship to how that is set up. And this is how time, amen, is outlaid. In trillions of frames. And our conscious is moving through those frames. Oh, follow me this morning.
I hear you.
And everything that is in there is an experience for God's purpose. But ultimately, eyes haven't seen, not ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for those and finished and completed for those that love it. You're on a journey in time, in consciousness. But more than that, you are in the body of Christ. You are in the body of Christ before you have a place in this body. In consciousness, moving through frames in time. But that's just your conscious. you're in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Give him a praise this morning. Now life is about to mean something. And so, whether I get what I want or whether I don't get what I want, or whether, amen, I may be disappointed because I don't get this and that and other, but I'm never disappointed in life because life is about Christ. Never disappointed about Christ. Never disappointed by where I'm eternally fixed. These things have to be communicated to us. And of course, God has to convey these things. In verse 11 it says, "For what man knows, no man knows of the things of a man except the spirit of that man. In the same way, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God." And so we must receive from him to know what's in his mind, to know what is. This is why our thoughts, and everyone has an opinion, and of course I respect other folk opinion, and but those opinions have got to align with something. Here, what we're trying to do is to focus on a moving target, and that's the earth, and that's time. That's moving thousands of miles a minute or a second, however they got that thing calibrated. And you can't really narrow anything down. So you don't go that way in physicality. You look into the spiritual realm of God. And you draw from the well of him conveying what is to you. And as we receive that, you're confident in him. Everybody say in him. And so in verse 12, Brother Deacon, read that from the Greek.
Now,
those that are watching here at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize the Greek interlineal. And basically, the preparer of this document, feet are held closer to the fire, closer to the text. Because you got the Greek, then you got the English word right under it. So it's incumbent that if he derivates, even in attempting to explain something, he has to have some footnote there. But following your translation, it's pretty close. Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, interlinear Greek text. And we.
Stop. We. When Paul uses the personal pronoun, what is he saying? He said we. In another case, he says us. Me. He's referencing those who are God's elect.
That's right.
That this. This is an epistle, a letter, if you please, that actually is written to you. And if others don't understand it, it's because it's not it's not their letter. This is your letter. And we what?
And we not the spirit of the world received.
The comprehension of the world received, but what?
But the spirit from God.
Of God. And this is why the Holy Spirit will communicate to your spirit, because he knows the things of God, amen, and I don't, so he communicates to us the things of God. The Holy Spirit. That's the purpose of the Spirit. What's the chief job of the Holy Spirit? To teach, communicate, bring comprehension. Read.
In order that we may know
mm-hmm.
the things by God.
Now, Brother Deacon, let's stop. Hold on a minute. That we may know.
Mm-hmm.
That Greek word there. Get your lexicons now. We're going to go into a little exegesis. Mm-hmm. Pastor, you say, no. Really get this thing down pat. We must understand what is being actually uttered in heavenly language. What is that?
Aorist subjunctive.
So aorist said we may know what? Having known. Because it was previously what? A sign for us to know. And that's the only reason you know and the other guy doesn't know. If he doesn't know.
That's right.
That is an aorist what?
Aorist
subjunctive. Notice that which was freely granted or given to us.
Mm-hmm.
When was it given to us? Notice it does not say which he what that again the things that note the difference between King James and the Greek there. The Greek word forgiven is what? Mm-hmm. Aorist, participle, passive voice. So, you didn't get it. It was given. And it's the aorist tense.
Amen.
It's the aorist tense. What's the aorist tense? It's complete in action. It was pre-given
mm-hmm.
for us to know. Don't get upset. I wouldn't spend 3 seconds arguing with an atheist. The only reason he or she doesn't know is because what? It wasn't previously assigned and given to know. Don't get upset with people because they disagree and so forth. They say, well, I don't buy this. Well, it's not for sale. It's a gift. If you got it, it didn't cost you anything as far as money was concerned. It's a gift. It was given. And so he's talking about the deep things of God as conveyed in verse 10. What are the deep things of God? That which is not visible. The unseen. The permanent or eternal.
Right.
If that thing is moving and you can see it, I said take it in for the moment, but that's not what it is. What you see is not what it is. And to get some direction, always look toward the unseen. Because the unseen is eternal. How do I get it if I can't see it? Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. We're speaking about the thing that God communicates to you through His Word. So we're always looking to the Word of God to define things. You say, well, what do you think? Well, what does the Word of God say? Well, I want to know what you think. No. You want to know what it is. If you want to know what it is, you want to know what the Word of God
is
conveying.
That's right.
Because what I think is tied to a moving target.
Oh, Hammer.
Which is hard to hit, isn't it?
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
And the target is changing colors and shapes and sizes and concepts. Aside from God, life is one big question mark. And so this is why we come in these exercises and coming together, we worship God, but we worship God even more when we listen to Him. What the Word of God is conveying to us about whatever is happening out there. And so now I'm not trying to figure things out on my own. Old Testament, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, do what?
Acknowledge Him.
And He will do what? Direct your path. So if I know the way, I don't need to acknowledge Him. I just say, hey, that's what it is. And that's where I'll go in this. No, you don't. You're heading for disaster.
Amen.
Don't you try to figure out anything out there without consulting the Word of God.
I hear you.
Because His Word is a what? Lamp unto your feet and what? A light unto your pathway. Amen. And if I can see, I don't need a lamp. I'll just walk. But oh my God. As the old folk used to sing the song, it's dangerous walking in the dark.
Amen.
Most of us want to feel our way. And that can be very dangerous. Very, 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 very dangerous.
Oh.
So verse 13.
1 Corinthians 2:13, interlinear Greek text. Which things also we speak, not in taught
so
of
we,
human.
So we're not just speaking, we're speaking in correlation to that which we have heard. In other words, this is what the Word of God said. This, so this is why in all of our documentations and writings, and those of you on the website, and you see all of the writings that we do, there's always Scripture there. We're always hiding behind the Scriptures. Because just to say something is an opinion. An opinion is worthless unless it is aligns with and drawn from the Word of God. So that when we speak, we're speaking, we're saying what the Scripture has said. But when we speak, read.
Not in taught of human wisdom words.
Oh my God, I'm going to come back to this next week. I'm not going to get through this verse today. Amen. This is one verse we could just stop and do in theology what they call scriptural natural. And that is where you textual natural and you just draw from what's there and the Holy Spirit can speak volumes. You can write two or three chapters. I didn't say paragraph, chapters out of this one verse. The Holy Spirit just speaking and pouring out because of the contrast.
Yes.
Because He's telling you where I'm not coming from first.
Not.
I'm not coming from intellect, human thought, human precepts. And when we say sagacious, we're speaking about the eternal perception that is conveyed from the vantage point and viewpoint of where God, amen, accommodatively resides, amen, Christ in the heavenlies, amen, that are in Christ, amen, which is the essence through His Word of what things are. So it is really not us speaking. It is us trumpeting and proclaiming what God has said. And this is why you stand behind this rostrum and say, keep your head in the book. As I've conveyed to the ministers in ministerial class, if you get up, do it. You call your text, and then what you do? You exegete the text. That is, we use the 3-4 method of what?
Grammatical.
Contextual. What?
Historical.
Then after we get that utterance straight, then what we do?
Explain
what you have exegeted. Then when you get through with that, what do?
Sit down.
Because now you're going to revert back to your thoughts and your ways and just mess the whole thing up.
Amen.
This is why we keep our heads, Amen. When the Lord gets through talking, then you should sit down. Don't you stop. Don't you stop.
That's right. Amen.
I'm telling you, ministers, it'll keep you out of trouble, okay?
Amen.
Read.
Not in taught of human wisdom words.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to come back to this next week. Oh God, hallelujah. And that word Sophia there, but it's speaking of humans, is used advisedly.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom means, the root word is wise. Mm-hmm. And it's conveying the thought of something that is solid. And so he uses that adjective there in anthropinis of human, basically in just conveying things as they relate to mankind. As they humanly relate, and we call it wise. What is a wise man? There is really no wise man. No. Corroborate. James said, if any man like what? Let him do what? Let him consult Aristotle.
No.
Socrates.
No.
Einstein.
No.
Stephen Hawking.
No,
because you're going to come up with God didn't create the universe. No. No matter what's going on out there, what's happening, each week when we come together, our heads are in this book, television. I'm going to come back to that next week. I better not get hooked up there because I said I was going to be short, and I absolutely won't be short if I get hung up there. But we'll be back to that next week. Keep reading.
But in talk of spirit, with spiritual things comparing.
Yes. When we juxtapose, when we focus, it's in the spiritual. What does the Word of God teach us? It teaches us not to look at what you see. We're not looking at what? The seen. Because they're what? They are moving. They're not stationary. They're transitory. and they're changing. The most obscure thing that you can observe is something that's moving fast and changing at the same time. That's what we call life. And then we're going to depend upon what we observe. That's got to be the most confusing thing. This is why we never say, what is this? But we look into the Word of God and say, what? What is this for? What's the purpose? Rather than the process. The process is ever changing and moving.
Amen.
And has no determination value.
Right. Right. Sorry.
And this is why the scripture said, we're not looking at that. We're not dependent upon that. We're not focusing on that. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Give me 10 minutes. I'm just bail out to kind of and feel my biological clock trying to shut down on me here. But the thing is, as we view life, we'll be looking beyond the process and the purpose. Not what is this? What is this for? Not what we're doing, but what God is doing. Relativism. Everybody say relativism.
Relativism.
So how does this thing relate to God?
Amen. Amen.
Not how does it relate to me.
Amen.
I lost my job. Yeah, I don't see how that could relate to God. That relates to me. I'm the one that lost the job. The whole situation of the job is about him. Not about you, but about what he has for you.
Amen.
Where'd you get it from? Where did it come from? First of all, how did you get on the scene? While I was walking down this way, that thing was prearranged. How many of you know that your life is prearranged this morning? Everything that happens is prearranged by God for purpose. Two people come together and they have children and then they divorce. So, well, that wasn't supposed to happen. According to the way things are laid out, as far as society and the way, and it's true. Yes, we give the vow, it says, until death separation. But that's the process. Remember the story of Ruth? And her mother-in-law,
Naomi.
What happened to Ruth's first husband? He died. That wasn't supposed to happen. It was purpose. And so she stayed with her mother-in-law. And as it relates, what happens? But she ends up being the grandmother of, great-grandmother of who?
Jesus.
Of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
No. If she had children in the first marriage, were those children mistakes? No. See, we think that we belong to... Listen to me. We think that we belong to one another.
I hear you.
We don't belong to one another.
Amen.
We're alone to each other.
Amen.
You better hear me this morning.
Amen.
And the thing about alone is, at some point, you got to return it. You got to give it up. On a prioritized basis as to where we are alone and prioritize where we are alone.
Oh.
hard. It's hard saying. They came to Jesus and said, your mother and your brother, they're out there. And he said, well, the holy, who is? Because they were speaking from time.
Amen.
And from the terrain. And these things are important as we go through this. And preachers won't preach on this because we so afraid people are going to say that we're insensitive. No, you don't. If it's there, what?
Preach it.
Paul said at the end, it won't matter what possessions you have.
It won't.
Or even who what?
Who you were married to.
Married? As though they what? Were never married. Because none of those things are relevant in Christ. They are very relevant now.
Thank you.
But they won't preach it. And this is why it's so hard, and I understand those that are married for years and then they're separated by death. And the other one has a real hard time. And I understand that. That's the human emotion. Jesus gave the example. Lazarus died. Jesus did what?
Mm-hmm.
He wept.
He sure did.
In human emotion. But beyond that. There's the essence of who we always were in Christ before we were ever David, Jeremiah, and someone other. Was it Isaiah? Isaiah said, he knew me. Before I was what? I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly before I was conceived. Your relationship with God is a pre-relationship. We've been taught that we come into the world and we build the relationship with God while we're in the world so that when we go out the world there'll be a relationship. No, 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 no. It's true. What you don't bring in, you sure can't take out. So you brought this in.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason you take it out.
Take it out.
And it's more than what you have.
Amen.
While you're in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go through a couple of paragraphs. Let's turn to page 9. Those that are following us. This document, you can just hit on the icon and the entire document comes up. Scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Page 9. Relativism in Scripture ontology. Follow me closely here. Let me just bail out. Relativism exhibits what some elements or aspects of secular experiences and cultures are relative to, as such are dependent upon other ingredients or features of physicality. Now what happens when you do this? We're off base. And so we're moving, we're focusing on the moving target. This vision exercises, it extracts tenuous and arduous statements of relativism. What are they? What is true for you is not for me. Because it depends upon what time you look at that target, which is different from the time I look at it. And not only has it moved, but it has changed.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. No, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So, you can't judge other cultures by your standards.
Mm-hmm.
You see why we focus on the Word of God.
Secular
relativism. Everybody says secular
relativism.
That's when you're focusing on the natural, the physical, the visuals, which are nothing but virtues. Secular relativism's declaration is that humans grasp and evaluate their beliefs and behave as best in terms of historical and cultural context. No, you don't. Challenges of relativism's in various degrees of controversy endeavor to codify, regulate, so term truth relativism. So now we start getting into relating based truth based upon what we observed. That is the doctrine that there are no absolute truths. You see where we are? You see why we don't go down that road? Certainty is always provision in distinct frames of reference. That is, some specific language or culture. In scripture review, everybody says scripture review. This claim or vow is self-defeating. That is, when you look at things and you say it's based upon me. When you look into the scriptures, all of that goes right out the window. If such is averred, then all truth is subject to some physical frame of reference, as the statements are subject to reference frames and thus not consistent within themselves. How can it be moving and changing and be consistent? That is the very opposite of consistency. And so, and our time is up, we must take full account of things by always reviewing the scriptures, by always looking to Him who is the author, the originator, who outlays all things according to what is versus what seems to be. And it's tough at times because sometimes we have a hard set on things and we're crushed when they don't materialize. And so there is disappointment, there's even many times get into humdrum of being forlorn. Just decimated. Life has no real joy and purpose. That's because we have erroneously defined life. How could Paul, who had gone through all of the things that he went to through, ever speak about joy? Having been beat with 40 stripes, stoned outside of Lystra, left for dead. Shipwreck. Bitten by a viper. Hated. Perils of waters, perils of countrymen.
That's
right. Sick. Naked. Hungry. Often. He speak and say, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. I repeat, rejoice. That's what he's saying, rejoice. I repeat, rejoice. And while he's writing that, he's in prison. What is there to rejoice about while you're incarcerated? He starts off the epistle, he says, I'm a prisoner, but notice where the genitive goes. He didn't say, I'm a prisoner of the Roman government, of the Jewish sectarian force. He didn't say, I'm a prisoner to these cells that are holding up the irons and the shackles. Because in that day, they didn't just lock the cell door, they shackled you. They chain you. to make sure that you didn't get away. No jailbreaks. Except that didn't work in a couple of cases. We won't go there this morning. But it is not the things of life that holds us. We're not shackled to this life.
Hallelujah.
Which means you're not shackled to your situations. Hear me this morning. Everything that comes shall pass. When God's purpose is fulfilled. I force you to sing, Jesus break every fellow. You know what that is? That's the chains that hold your feet. Every chain is already annihilated in the heavens in Christ. Now we're going to move through this slowly. Our next several outings that we convey from this document. The exercise is to focus on Him. To evaluate your life through Christ. To evaluate time from eternity. To evaluate the physical from the spiritual. To evaluate the seen from the unseen. To know that He who is in you is greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? Greater than He is in the world. I better quit. God bless you.
Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus.